But I was reading this the other day, and it just kind of brought to my attention, you know, the parallel between this world and the world of Daniel. I'm going to read just a couple verses here if I can. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and then of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom there was no blemish but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and to whom they may teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed unto them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and unto whom the priests of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, the name of Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. I'm going to stop right there. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for another day. Lord, for your wonderful presence that we already feel in this place. God, and we come believing today, Lord, that you're going to open up your word once again to us, and the Holy Spirit just begin to give us relevant revelation. That's what we're speaking. That's what we're claiming. Lord, just begin to show us something, Lord, how that your word, Lord, thousands of years ago connects with us today. Lord, and we're just believing you for that this morning. God, bless us before we leave this place. We're going to give you praise for it already in Jesus' name. The book of Daniel is important because it's not just written from a historical standpoint, but from an eternal perspective. 9 of the 12 chapters involve dreams and God-given visions to Daniel. And it began to show him and reveal to him even the future things that are yet to come upon this earth. Well, chapter 1 starts off with the evil reign of King Jehoiakim. And verse 2, the Lord gave Jehoiakim into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. One writer said one time that the Bible could be called a tale of two cities. You have Jerusalem and you have Babylon. Jerusalem is the historical capital of God's chosen people and the future capital of his eternal kingdom. But Babylon is always the city that the Bible uses as a reoccurring symbol of the works of evil. It represents the world that we live in, decadence and the cruelty and abuse of power, and especially rebellion against God. Well, Babylon began as Babel in Genesis 11, where Nimrod attempted to build a tower to heaven. Well, Babylon fell more than 5 centuries before Christ came. And the Bible prophesies to us that it will revive in end times. That Babylon spirit, we believe, church, already, that tries to usurp the authority of God, is already working in the world today. Yeah, I just want to look here for a few moments at the parallels of Daniel's Babylon in our world today. Jerusalem fell to Nebuchadnezzar 605 BC. Notice it said in verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim into his hand. This was not because of Babylon's power or their, you know, supremacy, but this was God. God's seen something here, church, and turns them over to their enemy. For the next 70 years, the people of Judah would live in Babylon in captivity. Now, I was looking at this the other day, the 70 years that they spent in Babylon in captivity was not a random number. If you notice in 2 Chronicles 36:21, the Bible says that the exile fulfilled the word of the Lord until the land enjoyed her Sabbaths. Now, this is talking about those things, that seven-year rest period that God in Leviticus ordered the children of Israel to observe. He would have them go every 7 years, and in that seventh year, he wanted them to not to plant or not to plow or not to reap. He wanted them to give the land a rest. Well, Israel failed to do this. They failed to obey God for 490 years. In that time, Israel should have observed 70 Sabbath years. So the 70 years in Babylon made up the deficit. How many realize this morning it pays to obey God? How many have found out yourself it pays to do things God's way? How many have tried to do it your way and you've done it God's way, and God's way is a whole lot better? Bible said his ways are higher than ours. He knows what's best for me. How many have come to that conclusion this morning that he knows what's best for you? So this is one of the great things, I think, that, you know, that God has to deal with a lot of times, is us getting out of our way and allowing God to have his way. Us submitting our will to God's will. I think this is something, church, that we go through daily. I believe, church, it's a daily thing for you and I to get to that place that we wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, as much as I got to do today, or the plans that I've already made, Lord, I want you to have your way. I want you to have your will. Lord, you lead me. You guide me. You direct me. You get me through this day. You start the day off like that, church, and let me tell you something. God will begin to move and things will be so much easier for you. Anybody ever just started off saying, Lord, make it easy? My yoke is easy. My burden is, Lord, make it easy. Start praying that way, church, and watch what happens. But I was reading this, church, and this was not Judah's only sin. They had the sin of idolatry. 12 of their 20 kings were evil. Jehoiakim was one of the worst. Bible says in Jeremiah 36 that he despised God's word to the point that he threw it into the fire. So even a great king like Hezekiah, who ended up causing suffering. Hezekiah was the king of Israel, or Judah. And we were talking about this here just a week or so ago, how that the enemy had come up against him, and how that he had gone and laid down their letters on the altar and began to pray to God. God, you see how the enemy is coming against me. You see the things that he is saying that he's going to do to us, but Lord, we believe you. We trust you. And God gave them a great victory. At the same time, all of a sudden, Hezekiah became sick in his body. He goes to church, and he's praying one day, and the man of God, Isaiah, comes to him and says, God says you're going to die. The Bible says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to pray. He said, God, I have been faithful. And before Isaiah got out of the courtyard, God spoke to Isaiah, go back, tell him, I'm going to add 15 years to his life. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And he goes back and he tells Isaiah, this is like one of those things, you know, we were talking about earlier about, you know, how fast that many times God will answer your prayer. Sometimes God will answer your prayer before you're done praying. Anybody ever seen that? And then sometimes you got to wait on the Lord. Somebody have seen that. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Come on, somebody help me this morning. Maybe you're praying for something even this morning when you come in here and you're believing God for something and you haven't received it yet. Somebody just continue to wait on God. Continue to believe God. Hopefully, church, before you leave this place today, you know, you will understand exactly what God's trying to do in your life. But Hezekiah turns this, he goes and he receives those 15 years, and he says to the man of God, he said, how do I know that this is really God? God's really going to do that. And he said, well, what would you like to see? Would you like to see the sun go forward, or would you like to see the sun go back a few degrees? He said, well, it's nothing for the sun to go forward. Let me see the sun go back a few degrees. And God moved, pulls the sun back. And do you know, church, it's something that we've found out here, is that the degree of what we receive from God is up to us. Somebody help me right now. Even Hezekiah, though, the last 15 years of his life were not the best 15 years of his life. Babylon, they send some people over to Hezekiah from Babylon, and he begins to show them all the great things that he had. He opened up his treasures, and pride began to take over, and he began to show them everything, how good God was to him. And they noticed this. Isaiah warned Hezekiah, one day they will return and take away everything that you have. Nebuchadnezzar confiscated all the things that had been set aside for God as a gesture of religious dominance. He takes them and brings them back and puts them in his treasure, believing his God was greater than his God. You know how bad we can make God look sometimes if we're not careful. Somebody listen to me. How many don't want to make God look bad? You know, sometimes you get into a point, you know, maybe you say something or you do something maybe you shouldn't have said. We have to be careful. Even David himself finding himself in a place one time where he began to even, by the things that he had done, made God look bad. Gone and taken another man's wife, and Nathan, the prophet, comes to him and said, you know, you've given the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme him. We want a church, we want to get to that point, but how many realize, church, that when you go through things like this, maybe you've gone through a period where the enemy has come in and robbed you of maybe your joy or your peace, or maybe the enemy's come in and robbed you financially. Maybe he's come in and attacked your family. But how many know this morning that God restores? We got a God, church. After the 7 years, when they go back, you know, church, they took back all the things that they had taken from the treasury. They took them back, and Cyrus, who ends up being the king of Babylon at that time, sends them back even with more supplies that they might be able to rebuild Jerusalem. God restores, church, and gives back to you not only what the enemy tries to take from you, but even more. Verse 4, Nebuchadnezzar goes and he begins to choose the best men of Judah. He chooses those that had no blemish, the good-looking ones from the age of 14 to 17, they said. Daniel was about 16 at this time. And he takes them. I believe that the enemy today, Satan today, is after the youth of this country. I believe, church, that he would love to come against the young people today, doing everything that he possibly can. We see a church, even the young men that says that were gifted in wisdom and knowledge, that were quick to understand. Those that had a high IQ. Satan has infiltrated our colleges with a socialist agenda today. We see, church, how the teaching that they have brought into the main colleges today. But I believe at the same time that we're seeing something happen even in a college in Kentucky. Anybody notice that? I believe, church, that Asbury College in Kentucky, something that's happening with the youth, a revival, a prayer meeting that broke out, and they're still praying after 10 days. I believe, church, this is something that's even on the national news now. But I believe this is something, church, that God is trying to use as a contrast. We see all the things and how that satanic force has come into the college scene today and trying to affect the minds and the lives of the young people. But at the same time, I believe that God is ready to pour out his spirit. He said, in those days I will pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters. He said, your young men shall see visions. Oh, anybody listening to me? I believe, church, that God is using something even like this in Kentucky as a contrast to what the world is perpetrating on the young today. God's stepping back, church, and saying, just let me show you what I can do. Boy, I believe God would like to speak that to everybody in this building today. Maybe you've lived your life and maybe you've done things your way, but if you would just come to the point that we say, you know what, God, you do know better. I'm going to get to the point that I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for you to allow you to begin to work in my life and to do the things that I know you want to do in my life. You know what? They take these young men. And I was thinking about, I was just getting ready for church this morning, and it came across the news, and they were talking to those young people at that college, and they said, what do you think is the reason that people are coming from miles around even to experience this revival? And they said, well, it's the Holy Spirit. Don't you love that? Somebody has boldness. It is the Holy Spirit. Let me put this across to millions of people today. It is the Holy Spirit that is drawing people for a desire for the truth. I believe that's one thing that the world is looking for today, don't you? They're looking for the truth. I mean, no, Jesus said the truth shall set you free. I'm reading this church, and they chose those ones that had great skill, social skills, young men who had been born into royalty. Boy, and I started thinking about that because you and I, church, no matter where we come from, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, suddenly you become part of a royal family. Yeah. Somebody listen to them. Royal blood now flows through my vein. We're a child of the King this morning. We understand that, church? I'm not talking about just some king. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are part of that family this morning. And you know, this is one of the reasons I believe that Satan comes against the children of God. Those believers that have accepted Christ as their Savior, Satan's going to come against you, church, in every way, every opportunity that he has, because he knows that God is able to do something with your life. Oh, that's the wonderful thing about a church. When you come to the Lord, he's not just saving you and preparing you for heaven, but he's got a plan and a purpose for your life right here on this time. And the enemy knows that, church, and he will do everything that he can to come and wreck that. He knows God's plan that he has for your family. He knows God's plan that he has for your prosperity. Knows God's plans that he has for you, for your purpose to send you forth and to be a vessel in the last day. And they go and they take these young men, and in verse 4 and 5, it says that they go and they put them through a 3-year course to teach them the Chaldean language. Babylon was a center of learning and in knowledge. And he goes and he changes their names. Boy, I'm thinking about this. There was another name for Babylon, it's Chaldea. A word often associated with magic and witchcraft. Today, our world is saturated with the occult. TV and movies and music. The rich and the famous all involved, many of them, in demonic activity. I was watching something here the other day, and it was showing a thing from the Commonwealth Games in England this past year. And they were showing this huge stadium, and King Charles was there. And this huge stadium full of people, and in the midst of this, they bring this gigantic mechanical bull. I don't know if you've seen that. And he comes through this stadium, and it's breathing smoke. It was as high as this building. And it was breathing smoke, and it was moving on its own. And the people were coming around, and they were worshiping and falling down before this robotic mechanical bull. And it was just a sign of some of the things, church, the satanic force that is at work in this world today. Nebuchadnezzar didn't, church, he didn't want to just re-educate them. He wanted to disengage them from their former culture. Wanted to transform them into full-fledged Babylonians. I believe that's what's going on today when they're trying to change even our U.S. history. They'd like to come and do away with the U.S. history, church, that we have been taught for years. Why? Because it's Bible-based. The history of this country was formed upon the Bible. Do you know the original colonies and the Constitution itself, church, was devised by men from the Bible? He goes, church, and he does 3 things to Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the young men that he took from there. First of all, he emasculates them. This, it says in verse 3, Ashpenaz was the master of the eunuchs. Isaiah had prophesied. He said, they will come and they will carry off your riches, and they will take your sons and make them eunuchs in the palace of Babylon. Years before it ever took place. Young men whose only passion would become to serve that king. Well, the world today is emasculating young men, doing everything in its power, church, to confuse the young of their gender identities. Somebody know what I'm doing? That same kind of force is in our world today, to where children, little children, are having sex changes. Verse 5, it talks about them putting them in a position of a lifestyle that only the king could provide. The world today is not only trying to re-sexualize children, but putting those in position to power to create credibility and a desire to emulate that. See, a lot of times we don't realize, church, everything. I know that we have so many things going on in our own personal lives that we at times don't notice what is taking place right in front of our eyes. But there are things like, this is the first, we know that this is the first administration to have a female vice president. But it's also the first administration to have a first lesbian press secretary. Also the first one to have a trans admiral. Did you see? There was I couldn't believe it when I saw it on TV one day. He was dressed in a Navy outfit from here down. My dad was in the Navy. But he was an admiral in the Navy. He was dressed from here on, but from here down he had a dress on. First one administration to have first one to have a non-binary pastry chef. Non-binary means you do not identify as a male or female. Somebody help me. I got a picture of a guy that was actually, do you have that picture? This guy was part of those that were in charge of nuclear waste in the administration. Anybody listening to this? Been around it too long. He was one of those that was in charge of, until he was arrested for stealing some woman's suitcase at the airport and taking all her clothes and wearing them. Yes, it was. But do we realize, sure, Nebuchadnezzar goes, and these are some of the things that he was trying to do. He's trying to get them away from what they knew, trying to get them away from the God that they served, and tried to, you know, transform to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is that the word of God? Somebody help me. We find, though, he goes and he changes Daniel's name and turns it into Belshazzar, which Daniel means God is my judge. Belshazzar means Bel shall protect my life. Hananiah, Yahweh is gracious. He turns him into Shadrach, the command of Eku. Mishael, who is what God is to Meshach, who is what Eku is. Azariah, Yahweh is my helper. Abednego, servant of Nebo. These were various Babylonian gods. You see how he's trying to brainwash them, trying to change their identity. Do we see the same force, church, that's in the world today? Do we see how the enemy is working? Do we see how the devil, Satan comes against us many times, church, to confuse our identity? Instead of being that, you know, born again, spirit-filled, you know, a healthy child of God, I'm going to go around confessing that I'm sick. Somebody needs to be speaking, I'm healed. Don't let the enemy put that on you. I'm sick. I'm afraid. No, God's given you, church, to every man, a portion of faith. Somebody listen to me. How many times you come to the point that you're speaking, I'm broke? Well, the word of God tells me, church, that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. I don't have room enough to receive it. That Jesus Christ left his riches and came and became poor that you and I might become rich. Yes. Oh, Pastor, I'm never going to get ahead. Oh, I'm glad David didn't feel that way when he went against the giant. I'm never going to get ahead. Somebody help me. Verse 8, they take Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and they begin to give them food. And they begin to give them the drink from the king. He wants them to get to the point that nothing else will satisfy you. And Daniel comes and he begins to speak to the chief of the eunuchs. And the Bible says that he had found favor with the chief of the eunuch. And he begins to speak to him and he said, the Bible said he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to drink that. And the eunuch looks at them and he said, well, you don't understand. It could put my head in danger. And Daniel goes and he says something to him. He said, if you will give us 10 days, Not to, don't force that on us. Let us eat what we want, you know, the things that God has already said that we should eat. So he gives them 10 days not to eat and not to partake in the king's meat or his drink. And 10 days later, you know what they find? Is that all of a sudden they go back and physically they're in better shape. Because God had already given them instructions what they should eat. I'm going to tell you what to eat. It'll keep you healthy. 10 days later, they come back and they find them, church, fatter. Eating roots and berries. I don't know. They find them in better shape. Oh, God knows what he's doing. God's got it better. And he finds them, church, 10 times wiser, smarter than everybody else. Did you hear this? You know what I find, church? Is that their result was equal to their resolve. Somebody listening to me. Daniel purposes in his heart. Their production ends up equal to their purpose. Purpose in my heart, resolve. I'm going to resolve. And their end results was equal to their result. You know what that's telling me, church, is all of a sudden that's the kind of resolve I believe that we need in the world today. God's people need to get to the place that you and I, church, that we come and we become like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I won't bow down to your idols. Get to that point, church. That's the kind of resolve, church, that we need to get. I'm going to be like Daniel. Nothing's going to keep me from praying. They said that they put out a decree that if anybody calls out on anybody else or in any other God for 30 days, they would throw them. Nothing's going to keep me from praying to God. Oh, come on, somebody help me. I wish this is the kind of resolve that you need on a Monday morning. When you get up out of bed, this is the kind of thing that you need. Oh, I'd love for you to get so hungry and thirsty and so full of the Spirit of God that you wake up in the morning and nothing's going to keep me from calling out on him. Nothing's going to keep me from starting my day off by praying and getting in my Bible for a few minutes. This is the kind of resolve, church, that the world needs to see today. Needs to see a church that we will not come down. I won't bow down to your idols. Nothing's going to keep me from serving the God that I know. We need to have that same kind of resolve, church, that shuts the lion's mouth, that will bring you through the fire and not be burned. Amen. Daniel, church, was promoted to prime minister. He goes and he makes up his mind. Nobody's ever set your mind to something. You made up your mind and nothing's going to change it. You're going to do that thing. You're going to, if it's the last thing you do. I remember when my oldest son, he must have been, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7. And his younger brother was a year younger than him. And we were out at a church picnic. And all of a sudden, one of the children had a bicycle. And my middle son, he must have been 6 or something like that. And he gets on that bike and just takes off. Well, my oldest son was a year older, gets on it, and he flops right over. And he doesn't understand. And so he gets on again, and he falls over. I come over there to help him. I shove him down a hill, and he goes over. This went on for a week. Week or two, and he was in the backyard every day, and he said, one day he looked at me and he said, I'm going to ride this bike if it's the last thing I do. For a minute there, I wasn't sure. But he stayed at it until he finally got it. There's some people that things come natural to, and then there's some people that have to have resolve. Anybody know what I mean? Well, I believe, church, that's what God's trying to get across to you and I. He's looking for that kind of church. He's looking for that kind of people that say, you know what, Lord, I know what the truth is. I know what I believe. I know that if I could come and accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, he is the way, the truth, and the light. I believe, church, that if I come to him, he's promoted, church. He had influence. ends up influencing as many as 13 kings and 4 kingdoms in his lifetime. And even though he often told them things that they didn't want to hear, they respected his counsel because of his integrity and the power of his spiritual gifts. When he said something, it happened. Well, I believe, church, that we can't miss the relevance of this book, comparing it to our own collapsing culture and the world chaos around us, the egotistical leaders that are leading the world today. Our need for spiritual resolve that will result in you and I, church, excelling spiritually and physically and financially, even in our own Babylon. You may agree with me this morning. This is the difference. This is that tale of two cities. See, church, it talks about Jerusalem and it talks about Babylon. And we may be in that Babylon, that world system right now, dominated by satanic influence. But how many believe this morning that when we come to that point that we make up our mind, I realize I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. Oh, I love a church when the leaders would come down, and Moses and Joshua, and come down, choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Anybody got that kind of result? That's what God is looking for this morning. I believe that's what's going on in Kentucky right now, don't you? Don't you believe, church, that that's just not something that it's isolated? I believe that God is wanting to do that all over the country today. I believe that God is looking for those that are hungry and thirsty for the truth. And for those, church, that will make up their mind, wait a minute, Pastor, I know who I believe in and persuaded that he's able to keep all that I commit to him. We found the truth today. It is in Jesus. We know the truth, church. It is in the Word of God. And you may be trying to, maybe you've come in here this morning and you've tried, you've done everything you can to live your life to your fullest. And now you come to the point that you recognize that you can't do it in yourself, but you have an opportunity today to turn everything over to him. Oh, I know that we all go through our everyday things ourselves. I go through it myself, church, and I know, I realize, I look around me, but I recognize, church, also that we are living in the last days. We see the things that's going on around us. How many know Jesus is coming? Jesus, but God is showing us here, church, that even like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we can go through these things in our own Babylon and come out victorious. We can come out with joy. We can come out with the peace. We can come out, church, prospering. They were promoted every time that they would come through these things. They were promoted in the kingdom. Do we understand? This is what God wants to do today. God wants to give you influence in your own Babylon. God wants to make turn your life around and change you in such a way that people come in contact with you and they see a difference. And they're able to tell, church, you're able to tell them just how it happened. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And that's not just a song we sing around here, church. Made a way where there is no way. I found out, church, that even in, I was reading Revelation 21. I'm closing with this. And I saw heaven in a new earth, a new heaven in a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, 15 miles long. I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them, and they will be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Anybody getting this? This is something here, church, that Daniel was even talking about. This is something that was prophesied, church, to us by John that has yet to come to pass. Any Daniels in this place today? Oh, Pastor, I am resolved. I am determined. I've made up my mind that no matter what is going on around me, no matter what the world tries to get me to conform to, I will serve the Lord. 600 years after Jerusalem fell, Jesus came. Church giving us the opportunity to excel until this day. And all will be shouting, Babylon has fallen. Oh, that's what's going to come to pass. That world system that we're struggling in right now, that will come to a head in the final 7 years of the tribulation period. Oh, church is going to be gone. But there's going to be a time, the Bible said, like they've never seen before. But when Jesus comes at the end of the seven-year period, Jesus is coming. Oh, the King is coming again. You know, that's the thing that we look forward to, isn't it? Bible said when you look around and you see these things beginning to take place, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. I believe that Jesus is coming soon, but he's also trying to encourage us through his word that as a child of the King, church, no matter what kind of world we're living in today, that you and I can have victory. We can come through this victorious. We can be blessed. We can prosper. We can be a blessing even in the time that we're living. Bow your heads with me real quick. Father, this morning, though, Lord.